Yesterday, late in the show, I tried to warn everybody that no matter what happens in Detroit last night, let's not overreact to Knicks Pistons. Well, what I didn't see happening was the Knicks basically not showing up and getting blown out. So we will address if Knicks fans should indeed be worried after their fourth straight loss and an absolute embarrassing effort against the Detroit Pistons. We'll address it coming up in the next 10 minutes. The Knicks issues are beyond the Pistons. They have played garbage basketball since the NBA Cup. And I think we're all kind of dancing around it. But
yeah.
Is this a cup issue? I mean, the numbers are the numbers.
Not having Josh Hart has killed them.
Look, not having Josh Hart hurts. But let's not act like they've never been shorthanded. Plus,
no.
The effort level has been so bad. The ball movement, which we saw so much of earlier in the season, is non-existent. You know, the Knicks have scored 100 points in every game until the last three games, when in two of the last three games, they haven't hit 100.
And OG Anunoby's been embarrassing.
I mean, OG Anunoby didn't want to play last night. Karl Anthony Towns had statistically his worst game of his NBA career last night, and Jalen Brunson had zero assists last night. And for whatever reason, and this, again, the reason I say this isn't about the Pistons, it's not a knock at them, it's that this has been going on since the Cup. Like, even the wins they had after the NBA Cup were those ugly, lucky kind of wins. They were losable games, like the game against Indiana where they were sitting guys. So they haven't played well. Now,
championship hangover.
Yes. I don't know if it's championship hangover or if it's effort hangover or whatever it is, but I got news for you because I want to pay attention to the entire NBA to make us feel better, to make Knicks fans feel better. You know who else has played like crap for the last 3 weeks? Anyone want to guess? So the Knicks are, I think, 5-6 in their last 11 games since the Cup. The Oklahoma City Thunder are also 6-6 since their semifinal loss to the Spurs. And did you happen to see what happened to them last night?
I didn't.
They lost by 27.
I have to go to bed early now.
That's fine. Follow-up question would be, okay, Evan, who'd they lose to? The Charlotte Hornets. So we can't act like slumps in January are exclusive to the Knicks or this proves there's something flawed with the team. They suck right now. I'm not going to defend them. And we can go through all the aspects of their suckiness right now. But over the course of a long NBA season where, yes, now we have an NBA Cup mixed in the middle, I can't look at it and say, a bunch of frauds. Again, the Thunder are 6-6 in their last 12, and they lost by 27 to the Hornets last night. Or do you think they're panicking in Oklahoma City?
No, not at all.
I don't know what they're talking about in Oklahoma City, actually.
Yeah, probably the Sooners and what's going on with the portal. Here's the thing, though, with the Knicks, Evan. We're not used to this because the Tom Thibodeau Knicks kept their pedal to the metal, and they owned January and February.
Here we go.
But it's true. And this is what always we would argue about, and that would come back to haunt the Knicks when they ran out of gas in the playoffs. So, you know what? If they're going through a malaise now, and Josh Hart's not playing now, and maybe Karl Anthony Towns is, you know, whatever, floating around, I think that the Knicks have graduated to the point where we can expect them to flip a switch come the playoffs. I do.
Well, I think they're going to flip a switch far before the playoffs.
Of course.
This isn't going to continue.
Well, they're going to have an half February.
Look, what's damaging about last night is, and this is a question for each individual Knicks fan, I know what Tommy used to tell us. He said home court advantage matters to him, which I respect. Losing last night to Detroit, putting themselves in a greater hole. They also dropped behind Boston, and major credit to what they've done without Jason Tatum, who may be on his way back soon. I think that, yes, it hurts their efforts to get the number one seed. I don't think there's any question about that. I happen to not think it's a big deal, despite the regular season splits. Like, just to put it in perspective, the Knicks are 7-9 on the road. The Nets are 6-9 on the road.
Yep.
So, obviously, they have not been a good road team, but let's not forget the playoffs last year. How'd they do in Detroit last year? I'll remind you, they didn't lose.
Right.
So I'm not overly concerned about the home road thing come playoff time. It's just frustrating to sit there and watch a lack of effort. I mean, they didn't care last night. They didn't care at the beginning of the game. They certainly didn't care during that horrible run in the third quarter.
Duncan Robinson cared.
The Pistons absolutely cared. That's why I'm not crapping on them, dude. The Pistons deserve a lot of credit. They have played wonderful basketball. They're playing shorthanded. They clearly wanted last night. Cade Cunningham said it after the game. Mm-hmm. They wanted to send a message, and good for them. I just don't think this has any bearing on what happens in May. But it was awful. No question. And the broadcast wasn't much better.
I mean, that was...
I mean, give me Clyde and Breen.
If Peacock's...
Even Alan Hahn.
If Peacock's doing a game, can we not have it sound like college TV?
You don't like Grant Hill and Kate Scott?
It was not a great broadcast.
Kate Scott is the Sixers broadcaster, I think.
Is she?
Yeah. So one of the things I noticed, and I try to be fair about this.
Didn't love it.
The impression many Knicks fans had, and I know you guys are biased. That's why I got to be an IBO. Was that Kate specifically didn't like the Knicks and was almost enjoying the failures of last night.
I could see that.
And I have to tell you, I kind of agree with it.
I could see that.
And I also kind of can't blame her. She's the Sixers broadcaster. Yeah. Like, wouldn't it naturally just come out? Yeah. The other day,
Grant, too many lulls too. When she's done, like, can you give us something?
Yeah, no, I get you. I think it's natural as a broadcaster to have your rooting interest show. I did a Rico Bronya the other day recapping Game 6 of the 86 World Series, and I found Jack Bauk's national radio call for the Billy Buckner play, and Jack Bauk sounded miserable. He sounded like he just hated the fact that Mookie hit the ground ball that Billy couldn't play, and ultimately what I came up with is, yeah, he hates the Mets. I mean, that's what it was. The Cardinals-Mets had a major rivalry, and he was pissed about it.
You hate the Mets, Joe B.
If I played that clip for Joe, he would totally agree. Now let's get to your phone calls on Kevin Stefanski, the New York Giants, and everything else. 888-808-1019. We'll kick it off with Ryan in Bayonne. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
What's up, Ryan?
I'm frustrated right now. And the reason I'm frustrated is because of Sean.
Okay.
Like, I just can't understand why would you rather have Kevin Stefanski when he has four losing seasons out of six over a coach that you're not even naming, Mike McCarthy.
I did name Mike McCarthy. Coach.
But you name all these other DCs and coordinators before you say Mike McCarthy.
I think Mike McCarthy was the first other name I brought up because he was obviously a guy with experience. Here's my issue with Mike McCarthy. Now we're talking about stop three. And Mike McCarthy, the moment Dan Quinn left Dallas, was not the same coach anymore. Dak Prescott didn't miss him for a second. And all this talk about Mike McCarthy's winning, I understand winning 12 games in Dallas. The Browns roster is not the Cowboys roster. A tree stump could coach Dallas to 9 wins.
All that doesn't make any sense to me because you'll give credit for Stefanski for the same things that you won't give for Mark McCarthy.
Ryan, if the Jets had a guy win Coach of the Year twice in 5 years, we'd want a statue built for him, right? We're talking about Cleveland Browns.
You just said, okay, in the beginning of Stefanski's career for the Browns, he won because he had a quarterback.
Mike McCarthy
does the same thing.
He had a very young Baker Mayfield that we still don't know how great he is.
Yeah, but if you give Mike McCarthy a quarterback, he does the same thing he did with the Packers and the Cowboys because he had Aaron Rodgers and he had Dak Prescott. And he took Dak Prescott to another level, something that we need from our quarterback in New York.
Ryan, it's a great phone call. I happen to agree with you, and this has been going on for a long time. This is not a new conversation around here. I've been on the same side of this for 5 years. There is a disrespect and dislike for Mike McCarthy. There was when the Jets were pursuing him and ultimately didn't hire him, which caused Joe and I to have major pain and angst, and it's going on again. And I can try to get into Sean's head because he's certainly the guy speaking about this right now. I don't understand how a guy who's been at two stops, won a championship, won 12 games in back-to-back years with the Cowboys, something they had not accomplished in a very long time prior to Mike coming in. I don't understand why he is talked about like he's this blah head coach. He's had success, and he's not perfect. Like, we all remember the specific playoff moments that we all sat back and questioned, but ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. He's won games, and I don't fully understand the disrespect you and others have had towards him.
I don't think Mike McCarthy's a bad head coach, so let's just get that out of the way. I think he's a fine, good head coach. The Super Bowl's a long time ago. I think this coaching search for the Giants is about threading a needle that's very hard to thread, that Kevin Stefanski feels like, oh my God, you could thread it, which is, I want a little bit of a younger guy with upside, Stefanski, much younger than Mike McCarthy, but I also want a guy that I think, untapped, can eventually not just get this team to be a perennial playoff team, but I can envision holding a Lombardi trophy next to Jackson Dart one day. I think Mike McCarthy, although he won 15 years ago, is the kind of coach like Tom Thibodeau where he will get you to a certain point and in 3 years you're making another decision to hire another head coach. I don't want to make another decision in 3 years. I want stability for 15 years. And maybe that sounds hocus pocus, but I think Stefanski actually presents more of an opportunity for that than Mike McCarthy does.
Real quick before we get to more of your calls. So the age of Mike McCarthy is a slight issue.
And how are you going to surprise me? Is Kevin Stefanski that much closer to him?
No, hold on. Why do you always think when I reaffirm something you said that there's about to be a gotcha moment to it?
Because there usually is. Now, you're going to tell me Stefanski's older than I think he is.
No, it has nothing to do with Kevin Stefanski. Right. You just said, I just want to make sure I'm not misquoting you. Is there a concern around Mike McCarthy's age?
I think when combined with his weight, yes.
Okay. John Harbaugh's older.
I know. Who's a better coach?
I think they're both really good coaches.
Stop it.
They're both Super Bowl champions.
Stop it.
Look, in a way, you have to give McCarthy credit that he went to another location and also had success.
I get worried about a third stop.
Why?
Harbaugh will be the second stop.
Would you be worried about Andy Reid's third stop? Would you be worried about Bill Belichick's third stop?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he's gotten older, times change. Yeah, it would be. That's why I didn't want Belichick.
By the way, I think Pete Carroll's third stop was the Seattle Seahawks. It worked out all right.
I guess that's true.
It is true because he had those early opportunities.
Had the fourth stop work out?
The fourth stop was not successful. Let's go to Alex in Southampton, New Jersey. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, guys. Congratulations on your new spot. Sick is not here today, but I wanted him here. But Sean, I'm sorry. I'm totally against. Well, congratulations, Sean. You know, we love you.
Thank you.
We love you, but we hate you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we love you and we hate you, Sean. And that's, you know, that's what we love that we're telling you. No personal, but listen, I can't stand Stefanski. I think the Giants need a man in the room. I don't think he is. But what, he's been, what, 6-7 years with Cleveland? Okay, let me address you, Sean. Yeah, he won 2 Coach of the Year. We had a coach that won Coach of the Year. How did that work out?
By the way, I was pro Dable, though.
Oh, okay, I know you were, but I'm just saying, how many losing seasons, how many quarterbacks? What has he built? What continuity did he get in Cleveland that we can say, okay, this is the guy? I mean, he sabotaged, plainly. I think Tiki was the only one talking about it. He sabotaged Shedeur Sanders.
He sabotaged Shedeur Sanders? He's the coach that actually gave Shedeur Sanders an opportunity when every other team kept freaking passing
on. Okay.
He sabotaged Dylan Gabriel by benching him as fast as he did.
Wasn't he the one that put Shedeur unprepared without a snap?
That ended up being a full Alex. Alex.
Hold on.
No. Now you're going. Alex.
But
where did he sabotage Shedeur? That whole wristband thing, we ended up finding out. All right, Alex, you're not going to let me talk. I'm pulling the big boy
thing. Wow, he hung up on him. He Francesa waved him.
We're going to debunk a few myths because Evan and I were pro Shedeur guys. We wanted Shedeur drafted. So that needs to be established before I make the following comments. We came on this radio station, several of us, and we discussed that Shedeur Sanders wristband situation.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, Shedeur admitted he screwed up. One of the things fell out. It had nothing to do with Stefanski. We thought he was setting him up to fail. And as far as, like, whatever else he was referencing, and, well, he put Shedeur in when he was unprepared in the first team reps. Don't follow Josina Anderson on Twitter and follow people who follow the NFL. Backup quarterbacks don't get first team reps in practice. They're supposed to be prepared to come into a game. Was it an issue with third team reps when Jameis Winston came in and played and I was anti him for a long time when he's scoring against the Detroit Lions? No. So how did he sabotage him? If anything, giving a fifth round pick an opportunity to start games and actually look good is a credit to Stefanski.
He's not a fifth round pick. He's a fifth round pick, but he's not a fifth round pick.
Okay.
And I don't know if those in the room are going to ask these questions. And I don't know if you guys think these questions are important, but I'll tell you what I think is important. If Joe Shane, John Mara, the Tishes, Chris Mara, Tiki Barber, whoever's in the room interviewing Kevin Stefanski, I want to know more about Shedeur Sanders. I want to know more about why it seemed to me, despite those things not being true, that he had no interest in playing Shedeur Sanders. None.
But did he?
Why was Dylan Gabriel?
Because you picked him ahead.
Who cares? What does that matter?
Now, we don't know the answer.
And by the way, you know he was picked poorly in terms of the draft.
Of course.
For reasons that had nothing to do with football.
Okay.
Now, Kevin Stefanski can answer that and say, hey, look, guys, I'm going to tell you the reason. He needed to be humbled. We needed to really humble him before being given the opportunity. That's a fair answer. I don't know if that's the answer, though.
But this is what I don't like about this. The team and the coach that ultimately ended up taking Shedeur in the free fall is now suddenly by people punished because of their handling of Shedeur. When maybe that speaks to the free fall in general to begin with. Like, in the end, you know who doesn't have to answer questions about this today? Raheem Morris or, insert whatever other coach got. Jonathan Gannon, who the Cardinals didn't have a coach. Like, isn't it a bigger question to Jonathan Gannon why you guys didn't take Shedeur Sanders? Maybe he would have helped your job?
By the way, I'd ask that question to Aaron Glenn today.
Okay, exactly.
If I was there, I'd say, hey, are you guys reconsidering not taking a quarterback in the first round? Could have been Jackson Dart. Could have been Shedeur, as Joe likes to call him.
So think about it. The Browns, and we don't know who is involved, feel like ownership gets involved. We think our owners are involved. Feels like their owners step in with the draft process all the time. So now that team that took Shedeur and that coach that eventually put him on the field is we're going to punish him in the limelight while the other 31 teams can throw their hands up. That's not right to me.
Let's say good morning to Karen in the great state of Pennsylvania. What's up, Karen?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to raise one point about Kevin Stefanski that I think a lot of people are missing. The guy is from Philadelphia. He has deep roots in Philadelphia. His father was the GM of the Sixers. His family is all Eagles fans that currently live in Philadelphia. He absolutely cannot be the head coach of the New York Giants. No one with Philadelphia roots like that should ever be the head coach of the New York Giants.
Hold on a second. My brain has been blown for a second. And I want to apologize because I like to be informed. Uh-huh. And when I'm not informed, I'll be the first to admit it. You're telling me that former Nets GM Ed Stefanski is Kevin's dad?
Yes.
How did I not know that?
We brought this up in a Cinco like a year ago.
Really?
And your mind was blown then.
Oh, it's been blown twice.
Yes. Yes. Now, the other problem Karen has is if that is what we're going to issue, and I can get down with an anti-Philly thing, we're going to have to eliminate half the Knick roster.
I was going to say.
And that's not going to sit well.
The Knicks would be expelled from the NBA or New York City.
And Abdul Carter's got to go too.
Yeah, Abdul Carter is a worry. So when we were at Giant Camp and we were having fun, asking some tough questions, but having fun, Abdul Carter was there, and I asked him very nicely on air. I don't think this was off air. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you repeat after me? And he's like, what do you got? And I told him, Eagles suck. And he wouldn't do it. Yeah. And he's that loyal to, I guess, his youth of being an Eagle fan that even as a current player of the Giants, now we'll ask him again next year if they allow us to go to Giant Camp, and I'll see if that's changed after a year.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I think we only get Slayton next year. Craig and C-Mac will talk to Abdul.
I think that we have to put the geography behind us because if you look at all the teams in our town, they are not exactly loyal to the teams that we are loyal to. They're loyal to the paychecks they get.
You know what Karen keeps thinking to herself? I can't have Kevin Stefanski ruin the Giants. Spike Eskin already ruined WFAN. That's what she's leaning on.
You know, we've... By the way, now my family gets to see me a lot at home.
Yeah.
I wonder if they want to throw me back now.
Yeah.
We have taken nothing but anti-Stefanski calls, so I do want to be fair. I know Richie in Queens is more pro-Kevin Stefanski, so Richie, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Real quick with the Knicks. I know it's you brought up a good point. Everybody goes too low, Shawnee, and I feel that at this point they're soft. They're not athletic. They're not quick. They don't guard the perimeter. Defensively, it's going to be an issue to say that they're going to march and win the East. There's some teams that are just athletically so much better. And if they don't get that defensive prowess back, they're really going to have an issue. And Cat's a major issue. He just gives you nothing in certain points. He just defensively such a liability. And even offensively, sometimes I just wonder about his game. Okay, with the coaching, you guys, I'm listening. And yes, Stefanski came up. But McCarthy is a guy I kind of pushed for initially. The thing I love about him, and you know this, guys, he worked with Favre. He worked with Montana as a quarterback's coach. He built up Dak. We need a guy that can give us stability. Let's not talk about winning the Super Bowl at this point. Let's get back to getting to the playoffs. And you look at Harbaugh and Tomlin the last 10 years, like the last 7 or 8 years, they've been pretty miserable in the playoffs. So, yeah, you want to get the right guy. If those guys are available, I'll lean towards them. My initial choice was getting Shula. But if McCarthy's available and you could get the good offensive coordinator, he can work with Dart McCarthy, I think he'd be the fit, Shawnee. I really do. And I know
who's coaching the defense, Richie? Who's coaching the defense? That's a big mark for
McCarthy.
Well,
you're going to get a defensive coordinator. You're going to need that. But you need a coach on top that's going to give you that stability again.
But Richie, Stefanski can bring his stability, and he may bring Jim Schwartz with him. Well, I mean, Mike McCarthy was lost without Dan Quinn.
I'm not against Stefanski. I think what he did, he worked with Mayfield, and when he had a good quarterback, he won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with leaning towards – and also, if you brought up a good point. This is the most important election. These are the best group of kids I've ever had. This is the most important quarterback search. It's always at the moment. I agree. But right now with the coach,
Richie, can I
it
say
really
something
is
to you?
Important.
Yeah,
Richie,
so what do you want to say, Sean?
You're the most important caller we had all
in this moment.
Yeah.
Until I click someone else?
Yes.
Yes, you were the most important caller ever until we said good morning to Dennis and Yonkers. You are now the most important caller we have ever taken. What's up, Dennis?
I'm flattered, guys. Thanks.
No problem.
Evan, Sean, how are you both?
Hey, Dennis.
Sean, you kicked me off enough. And we're both Giant fans, so we want the best for our team.
That's hard to do.
To stop doing what we're doing, and part of it's already been tainted with Joe Shane being retained, but let's hope he becomes, I don't know, Les Snead and Jason Licht more than Dave Gettleman.
Right.
I don't know.
Or even Ryan Poles in Chicago, who sucked before Ben Johnson got there.
Speaking of Gettleman, he never looked at Pat Shurmur's game time management when he coached the Browns, which was considerably worse than Stefanski's tenure with Cleveland. But this is a coach. He's 12 under 500 for his career, including playoffs. And Cliff Kingsbury is the other guy who seems to be in the same basket hey, let's get these guys out there. You throw a flash offense. And their offense, I actually like their run game in the offense. It's their passing game, and more to the point, game time management of Stefanski is abysmal. Now, this is minor, but I made no retentive about this. He's one of those go for two down eight guys. And that would be one of the first questions in my interview process. Do you go for two down eight? Yes.
Dennis, that'll piss me off too. No doubt about it. I'll go nuts about that. But this is where just my counter argument happened at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know who is like the absolute worst with time management you've seen in these big games? McCarthy.
I know.
Okay, so now let's just eliminate that. How do we know that Chris Shula, Jeff Hafley,
Jesse
Minter? And that's the only point I keep coming back to. And usually I'm very pro swinging on a coordinator. But for all the knocks of like what worries you about Stefanski, you have no freaking idea if those guys are working.
Yeah, so here's the way I'm going to phrase this. Because I think most people agree or lean towards an experienced head coach for the New York Giants. I don't think that's unique. I think most people talking about this, Giant fans or non-Giant fans, are saying, hey, stay to the franchise. I want a guy who's done it before. I'm going to phrase a little bit differently.
Okay.
I want the surest thing possible. Okay?
I agree.
The guy who has the littlest, yeah. The
tiniest?
The tiniest amount of bust factor. And the guy who will come here, and maybe doesn't win me a championship, but it's not going to set my franchise back a half a decade. And while I don't think Kevin Stefanski has huge bust factor, I think he's got more bust factor than Mike McCarthy.
Ooh, okay.
That's how I would frame. And I think that while he may be boring to some, and I understand the point of you're not going to win a championship with him, even though he did do it a decade and a half ago, I think we would agree, if I'm trying to find common ground with people that we disagree with, meaning you, Mike McCarthy has less of a bust factor, and there's less of a chance of this going haywire with him versus Kevin Stefanski and some others.
So I've thought about that, and what breaks the tie for me is something Tiki ingrained in my brain. I know he brought it up yesterday, and that is just simply who's coming with the staff. I think Mike McCarthy is a higher bust factor on staff. I mean, Schottenheimer's already the head coach of Dallas. Dan Quinn's already the head coach of Washington. Jim Schwartz essentially will be a free agent with him. He could have his pick of the litter OCs. He's worked with Pat Shurmur, could come be the OC here. Stefanski, actually, I think, and I wish I had this all in front of me, all the rabbit hole, the different coaches he's worked with. I think there's more there to put together a better staff with Kevin Stefanski, which would make me feel like he's less of a bust factor.
Patrick is calling from Melville. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Sean, I just want to know, you have the anatomy of a Jets fan. You guys had literally when the Jets had the chance to hire Mike McCarthy, what do they do? They go hire Adam Gase. And I think that Kevin Stefanski is basically the Adam Gase.
Oh, that is so unfair. Two-time coach here in Cleveland is not Adam Gase.
We want no part of Kevin Stefanski. We need, like I said, like the other caller said, we just need to be relevant right now. Let Mike McCarthy get us to 12 wins, and then we can moan that he didn't get us to the Super Bowl.
And Patrick, Mike McCarthy doesn't roll out of bed and win 12 wins without a great roster. I know we hate the Cowboys here. The Cowboys had a great roster. Look back at all the Cowboy drafts that Bill Dubb leading to Mike McCarthy. They were so ready-made. The Cowboys roster with Mike McCarthy was far better than the Giant roster we're trying to give it credit for now.
I apologize. I'm going to tell you something that's going to probably annoy you. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to duck. That's going to be my strategy.
All right, go ahead.
Tell you something, and I'm going to duck. But it's a fact. Adam Gase, higher winning percentage with Miami than Kevin Stefanski with Cleveland.
Okay. It's the Cleveland Browns. Their roster has sucked.
Oh, God. And the Dolphins, what are the Dolphins
talking about? Jerry Jeudy is your number one wide receiver the whole time.
What the hell are the Dolphins? They won a playoff game in two decades and a half. I mean, come on now. I'm just saying, in the 3 years, the brief time that Adam Gase was in Miami, he had a winning season, made the playoffs in two losing seasons, but his winning percentage was actually higher than Kevin Stefanski.
Good for him.
With that said, obviously, Stefanski is a much better candidate. I just wanted to give you the information. So you can have it for talking Giants.
If I was any one of these coordinators thinking about taking the Giants job that hasn't been a head coach before, I would listen to every caller that's called our show so far and go, I'm staying far away from the Giants. If I'm going to get punished for not winning enough games with that crappy organization, that's what we're punishing Stefanski for? 12 games under 500 for the Cleveland Browns? Build the statue.
Mike in New Rochelle. What's shaking, Mike?
Hey, Happy New Year, brother. How we doing, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Do me a favor, Evan. You're great with history, okay? Name me a head coach,
yep,
that we've hired that has any experience since Tom Coughlin left us.
Pat Shurmur.
Okay?
Pat Shurmur.
All right? It's got to stop. All right? It's got to stop.
Also from Cleveland.
Judge, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. We need to get either, all right? Pittsburgh or Baltimore's head coach, whether it costs us a pick or two or whatever it is, to get this thing right.
Well, okay? but hold on. They're not available now, Sean.
Right?
I think those cases are still undecided.
Well, what are we talking
Obviously,
about?
Obviously, the Steelers have a playoff game this weekend, so that's clearly undecided. And I think what's going on right now in Baltimore, my guess would be that John Harbaugh's not going to be fired. Him and Stephen Biscotti would probably have a nice discussion, nice little coffee dinner or breakfast, whenever the hell you have coffee. I don't drink coffee. In fact, I've only had coffee one time in my life. It's a horrible story. But I'm going to tell it anyway. Why not?
Diarrhea.
I was going for my SATs Saturday morning, and I wanted energy. And I knew so little about coffee. This is how stupid I am. And you could say I'm still stupid, but this is how dumb I was as a teenager going for my SATs. I go to Dunkin' Donuts, of course. I order a coffee, and I try to use lingo that makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. So I say decaf. Well, what the hell was the point of me getting coffee? No. If I order decaf.
No, you're not getting the caffeine out of it. Who likes the taste of coffee?
That's my point. I didn't know decaf meant no caffeination.
What did you think it meant?
I don't know. I
you
thought I was
go light and sweet,
bro. I thought I was using lingo. I was 16 years old. I mean, I was a schmuck then. I'm a schmuck now.
You know what I did in school when I was that age? I would go to Dunkin'. I would get, because I knew I didn't like coffee, I would get hot chocolate. And this was all my college life. And I would drink hot chocolate every day like it was coffee because I thought it made me look smarter. And everybody thought I was drinking coffee.
That's actually pretty smart. Yeah. What'd you get on your SATs?
I never took
them. You never took them?
Never took
them. Well, that's right. You told me that, which never is took crazy.
I knew I was going to Suffolk Community College. They weren't checking SATs, so why was I wasting a Saturday morning?
Would you take one? Like, if I paid for it, would you take one on one Saturday morning just so we could see what you or how you would do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested now because I have a kindergartner I'm helping with homework, so maybe I've learned a thing or two.
There you go.
But, like, in the end, you end up realizing in life, and this is for all the young kids out there, the SATs in college, generally speaking, can be a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, colossal.
Colossal waste of time. Like, you find something you want to do, unless it's Iona, by all means, actually, go to Iona. Never mind.
We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, we have the answer to a short-term bet question we made yesterday, which was, what would Chris McMonagle's first question for James Dolan be? We have the answer, plus the most interesting things we learned from James Dolan yesterday when he joined The Carton Show with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle, plus more of your calls on Kevin Stefanski and the Giants coaching search, and we will hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour.